Well, today I want to bring to us from the Mark Gospel three verses or four, from 33 to 37, even though it was read from 30 to 37. But I will focus on the verses from 33 to 37. And the title that I topic I want to bring to us today is, what does greatness mean in the kingdom of God? Is that okay? Yeah, I can't hear myself. Maybe my ears are the volume. Maybe you raise it up a little bit. Yeah, is that all right? Okay, good. Yeah, I can't hear myself, so that means you may not hear me as well. Well, what does greatness mean in the kingdom of God? And today you may say to me, why are we visiting this topic? Why are we visiting this topic as Christian? And I would say to you, it's a question we ask. We ask ourselves very often. It's a question we ask really, in a way or another. Sometimes it comes in different ways, such as, how can I be more effective in the kingdom of God? That could be one way to say it. Or, am I really pleasing God? You can ask this. Or even some may want to say or think of themselves as heroes of faith. And there is nothing wrong about that. To want to be, to do your best as a child of God, for actually that is what Jesus Christ has called us to be, to greatness, but of different kind. To greatness of different kinds. Because the opposite to that would be false humility that does not really reflect who we are in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to correct this in the text that we will have shortly. And we have a full chapter in Hebrews that talks about heroes of faith. So they were heroes. The word of God described them as heroes of faith, people who have pleased God. They lived out their true character as children of the Most High God. Those who have received the word of God and the Spirit of God in the desert. Those who have loved God and worshipped Him. And those who have marked themselves as God's people. God's people. Holy nation. To bring glory to their Creator. And this is no difference in the New Testament. That is a continuation. If you believe in the unity of the word of God, or also the unity of the people of God, from there to the end. Well, what was the issue? Here we have a situation where Jesus was coming with his disciples, and on the way they began to speak or to discuss among themselves that who is the greatest, who is the greatest in our movement, among themselves, because the text says this, because they were arguing about who was the greatest among themselves, not even in the kingdom. And so there's something here that we are not told clearly. So in what sense? The greatness in what sense is not revealed. But we can see the fact that from the answer of Jesus, that who is the number one? That is the word, isn't it? Because Jesus said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last to be first. And I will come and I talk about this later. Who want to be first? Because first here is number one. And before number one, there is no number, isn't it? So it's the prime. And also the last, there is nothing comes after the last. And so to be the first in the disciples' thinking, here what is in their mind is the focus on status, power, and authority. How do we know this? Because if we go back to verse 30, as they left the place where Jesus was transfigured, and they came to Capernaum, were coming to Capernaum, leaving that area of Galilee, they faced a situation where they were trying to release a demon-possessed person, to exercise authority over that person, but they couldn't. Because actually, they were not in the right position. They were not, their heart was not right. Because they were really obsessed with this attitude that the power is theirs. That they exercise this power without depending on God himself. That is why they say to Jesus, why we couldn't drive this demon out. And Jesus said to them, this kind can come out only by prayer. Praying to who? Praying to God. It's God's power that can deliver this man from this bondage of demons. And so now that is why there was something wrong about the greatness they crave for, about the nature of the kingdom that they are part of, the kingdom they are called to advance. So the first thing, who is the greatest? The greatest in a sense that who can impress people more with the power, even in the name of Jesus Christ? Who can impress other people by their faith? I was listening to this talk on news. They said they use this expression. I don't know whether it's very Australian. Who get the shot, isn't it? They said that. Who get the shot? Who will have the focus? You see, the most. So the disciples, they were thinking that I will be the person that will be the focus of the center of this movement. And Jesus is going to correct this, because if there is such a thought like this, and then that can hinder the advancement of the kingdom of God, and then there will be no power, there will be no joy, there will be no faith, there will be no humility, there will be no nothing. Just imagine if the disciples continue like this. And go back also to see in verse 31, as a context of these verses, Jesus left that place where they were in Galilee and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were going or where they were, because he was teaching his disciples, teaching them the right doctrine, the right attitude in the kingdom of God, if they are ever going to be the light and the salt, if they are ever going to be a people who represent Jesus, who can live in a society with full confidence that they have God on their side, who can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, who can have joy, love, peace, who can have no low self-esteem or even self-centeredness. Who is the greatest? Paul would think like maybe he's the greatest. He's very intellectual. Isn't it? Very intellectual. So, even in the kingdom of God, if you think you are the best theologian of all time, and you think of yourself like that, you lost the way. You lost your way. You are given just this light to help the kingdom, isn't it? If ever people are to describe you, not to have your head big, that I know better. No, it's not like that. There is no hierarchy. Do you remember that sermon I preached? There is no hierarchy in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. No hierarchy. All the same. And unless we have that attitude, that we can begin to reflect the true faith, isn't it? And that is why Jesus wouldn't omit this. The Bible contains this text. And it is our fault if we don't visit these texts all the time and have the right perspective on how we live. Because pride kills the spirit. Pride hinder the true move of God in any nation. And Jesus doesn't want his disciple to have such an attitude, because that is why he took them aside, and he doesn't want other people to just like intermingle with them. He wants to disclose to them these secrets. That is why, because he was teaching his disciples. He was revealing to them the fact that the way to greatness is suffering. And the Gospel of Mark has this focus. Miracles, the messianic signs. Jesus was performing miracles. You know, Book of Acts is just straight away revealing to us in short sentences that the actions of Christ, his actions. That is why he wanted his disciples to exercise authority. That does not come from them. That comes from God himself. So status and power and authority, when they combine together in any movement that's called themselves movement of God's people, is just zero. No power, no love, no sacrifice, nothing. No joy of the Lord, because the thing is about me. No. And we will see Jesus' perspective, because this sermon is made in two parts, simple parts. First, the question, who is the greatest? Second thing, what Jesus said about that. These are the two things I want you to remember to take home. Jesus really, in his gentleness, because a bruised reed he will not crush, as moldering wick he will not destroy. He was not always about destroying his disciples or destroying, and we should not also go about doing this. I'm not saying this, just I will say it in the spirit of Jesus. He just taught them the right way, isn't it? He didn't say you shouldn't be thinking to be great, but your thinking is wrong. And now he's going to show them the way to greatness in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, isn't it? You can look closely at the text. That is what the text is saying. Even he didn't rebuke them. Even he sat down to talk to them. Because that is what he wants to do. He knows that he is preparing them. He had to go to the cross first, and then he had to rise again, and the Holy Spirit to come. Even with that, they will have issues like we have issues. But the thing is that we need to remember that we can repent and believe the truth. And there we can overcome. Yesterday I was visiting a member of our church, a dear lady in our church here, and we were discussing. And I said, in my language, I said, the wicked force, like the devil, is so weak, it's easy to be defeated, because it's defeated only in the name of Jesus Christ. That was really, to me, a revelation. Because it's the name of Jesus that defeats Satan, our faith and trust in Christ. That is why Jesus said to his disciples, you didn't pray as those who rely on God in his power. So this is wrong, this attitude of the disciples. They were thinking of this because that was going to be for their failure, and Jesus cannot allow that to continue. And now he tells them, if anyone wants to be the greatest. See, Jesus even, he said, yes, the greatest. Because he is going to teach them the way to greatness. And now this is what he says. You must be the very last if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom. You must be the very last where there is no other person. And he's going to illustrate that to us in the form of a child. If you want to be the greatest, and this you think is easy, it's not easy. Isn't it? It is not easy. Unless really God helps you to do that. Unless God himself is the one who has revealed this to you, that the way to greatness is to be the last. Let me tell you a few examples. I think that was maybe in 1994. We were celebrating Easter. As a student, I was in my final year, or 93. So, university. And we were preparing a hall that was given by Egyptian Catholic people. We, as foreign international students, to celebrate the Easter. And so I was tasked by leading a small team to clean the hall, to decorate it. just we did decoration. It was very hot. April in Egypt can be hot too. And I was just waiting with my group, and we worked through the day, went to the shops and bought all the things that. And the following day, we celebrated. At the end of celebration, the guy who was the leader, he had all the recognition for everybody. Nice cards in recognition of their hard work. And guess what? I was left out. I was not given even a single card, or even someone to say to me, thank you. Just guess what would be your feeling if in that situation. I was not a strong Christian. I was just so distorted. I didn't make a fuss about it, but I was hurt. I was going away. I couldn't just believe it. I was just so broken in my heart. Humiliated. Rejected. I was so discouraged. And this guy, he just knew that. He felt it. And he came up to me and he said a statement that has become a blessing to me to this day. He said to me, in trying to comfort me, the Lord will reward you. Is there anything better than that? Is there anything better than that? If I had the recognition, I wouldn't even remember this situation, isn't it? So I was the last, the refuse, the nothing, the nobody, isn't it? So what is this text is saying to us? If you want to be something in the kingdom of God, you have to be nothing first, isn't it? Then you can be something. That is what Paul says. He said he became nothing in the footsteps of his master, Jesus Christ himself, who became nothing. He emptied himself. This text, I think, is a prime text in the Bible. I kept referring to this because it's the center of the Christology. The Christology of Jesus. Jesus' character. And we can return to this over and over and over again. So Jesus said, if anyone would want to be first, he must be nobody. You must come last, where there will no one to bear the shame anymore. You know, like in the third world countries, competition is very high. And so they mark from number one to the last person. And if you are the last person, all the whole school will just like shunt against you. Failure or something like that. And children will run after you. Isn't it? So just imagine failure. That can destroy you for the rest of your life. Well, maybe something like this. So maybe we need that. We need people to shout on us, failure. Maybe this is not correct. You say something like this in Australia, in the first world countries. You can't say something like that, isn't it? You will go to jail because psychologists will tell us that this had impacted this person so much and that you are liable for that. You go to jail. And Jesus is saying something like this, isn't it, to us? Can we take him to court? You need to be a person who will not think so much of themselves and who will have no shame of that for the sake of the kingdom. If you want to be the great in the kingdom, because actually Mark didn't say that, but Matthew said, who would want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heavens here and then? And Jesus is saying, these are the great people in the sight of God, those who will not think so much of themselves, who will be comfortable to occupy whatever position, whatever people will level them off. They will have any desire to fight back because this has been revealed to you by your master. And that is the way to greatness and to victory, where it will no matter anymore. What will matter is what the Lord is saying about you. Loved so much, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, prepared a place in heavenly places, filled with the Holy Spirit, have the authority of the name of Jesus Christ if you don't think of yourself. You can come and pray against demons, and you can liberate someone who is under demons in the name of Jesus and pray. You can come and humble yourself and pray for someone in need, and God can hear your prayers. For that is what he's desiring. But it's those who are thinking of themselves like that, they can never access that grace to be heard and to be used by God. And God wants to use us all, and he would not want us to dwell in those places. He wants us to take the position of servanthood, serving in this attitude. And now, this is, I think I'm delaying the illustration. That now, let me give you the illustration that Jesus uses. He took a little child and had him stand among them, taking him in his arms. You see, he took a little child and had him stand among these people to display to them and to show them. And then also taking him in his arms, acceptance. You see, he accepts this child. He said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Well, let me explain to you what the child here. The child, we may think of humility, and I think that was where I was going to go earlier, but until I just started to see clearly in the context of the text, that was not Jesus what was talking about. It's not the humility of a child. Well, in the first century context, children, they were just like the least of the society. Children were not regarded as people who deserve any honor and dignity in those days. That is what Jesus is really revealing here. And yet those children, they were accepting their position in that social scale as the lowest in the hierarchy of authority and decision-making and dependence on adults. That is what Jesus is saying here. Unless you accept that this is how people are thinking about you, like how they think about little children. Like today, if I just want to call a child and I say, come here and preach to this congregation, I believe many of us will just like pick up their mobiles and just go out, because there's nothing intellectual that may touch you, or something is spiritual, isn't it? We were told by Dr. Bruce Millen, that is a brother of Dr. Professor Millen, who was a Baptist minister, was living in Vancouver. He said he was visiting Singapore for a pastor's conference, and they were waiting for a guest speaker. And the guest speaker was an 11-year-old boy. And here, this is a theologian from Western countries who has written many books, and that his books are in libraries around the world. Here, coming, sitting under the teaching of an 11-year-old boy in Singapore. How about that? The kingdom's principle, brothers and sisters, are so different from our principles. If we are to make use of who we are in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we are to think twice. We are to repent. And we are real and urgently, because the Gospel of Mark was written with urgency that unless we do this, we cannot advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And today the urge is for us to change our mind, to have this mindset, so that if we want to lead a mighty movement of God in these nations, we are to accept who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to say to ourselves before other people will say it to us, because that is what they are saying to us, isn't it? But we are fighting back, saying that we are something, and we are losing. The book of James tells us, because Jesus is going to say, look, not only that you think like this, but there will be some people among us who will think like little children. But because of your attitude, who are thinking to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you will cause them to fight back. Maybe you cause them to fall and sin. That is what Jesus says. Later he said, if you cause one of these little ones, and if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large mallet stone tied around his neck. The punishment is severe when you try to discourage someone who is thinking of himself as a child of God in that way. Because that is the secret of greatness in the kingdom of God. And James picked up this teaching of his master. My brothers, in James 2, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord, Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing the gold ring and all these fine clothes, say, here is a good seat for you. But say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? A person who thinks like that is described as a person who has evil thoughts. And is going to be judged. Well, Jesus is calling all of us to have this right attitude because he himself, he demonstrated this. And today, we are celebrating the Lord's Supper because Jesus Christ, willingly, he took the last position. He took the last position. He became the last. He put us first. To show us the way to greatness in the kingdom of God. He loved us so much. He went through a lot. All the way. Spat at. Pushed down. Called a demon. He slapped and pierced. Crucified as a criminal. And killed. Buried. Done with. His body chucked away. And he rose to victory again. To give us salvation that we cannot get in any other way. But by him humbling himself and taking the last place. And he calls us to follow in his footsteps. If we are ever going to be great in the kingdom of our God. And that is what he is calling us to do. And not to be like those in the world. But to accept that we have been called out. And the Lord is demanding more from us. Because he is able to do this for us. And in us and through us. He is able to do this. But he wants us to have the right attitude. And the right stand. And all is for us. The knowledge of God. The power of God. The love of God. The humility of God. The patience of God. Isn't it? The mercy of God. All that God is. Because I didn't even talk about the kingdom of God. God coming into his own people, isn't it? In the Old Testament, if we want to see the continuity of the kingdom of God, God coming in their midst and filling them with his presence, fighting their battles, the kingdom of God arrived. And Jesus said when he was coming, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when he came, he drove out demons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. The kingdom of God has come. And that is the kingdom that is continuing now. To eternity. But the problem is us. We are not positioning ourselves in such a way that we will be the channel, the carrier of this grace and authority that God has given us for Jesus' sake. My prayer today is, friends, brothers and sisters, as we approach the table, that we will examine ourselves and really redeem the time. There is no time, the Bible says. Let us redeem the time. Let us do this. Let us not wait even to go out and to humble ourselves and say, Lord, if there is no, let us do it here now. Let us put everything right with God and with one another so that there is an urgency out there. The world is dying. You see, our politicians are confused. Even our leaders are just so holding to a small thing that they think that salvation will come from these things. If we keep these rules, and we know we are bombarded and burdened with a lot of rules. When we have the best rule ever here given to us, if we take it seriously, we will be free. even from all sorts of things. Jealousies, competition. I'm not in competition. You shouldn't be in competition with anyone. Or to seek approval from anyone. Well, if anyone would want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And all of us, if we do it like that today, if we have that attitude, we will be the greatest, isn't it? It's just like you got an exam, and then you are given your marks, and then you go, what did you get for that subject? And then you open it, 100 out of 100. And then the next person, what? 100 out of 100. And you end up, all of you, getting 100 out of 100. How come? Because you saw to take the best position, isn't it? The last one, you got 100 out of 100. And that is what Jesus is wanting. He's not going to say, oh, I want this person to get the 100. Even some teachers sometimes, they would desire that the other student who was so nice, good boy, or good girl, to get the best mark and to be given all the awards and things like that. Even in the church, things like this happens, isn't it? When people are coming, especially in the Presbyterian church. I've been part of Presbyterian church for most of my life. I've seen things that shouldn't be in the church. Well, today, the Lord God is calling us to not to think highly about ourselves, but to be willing to be like the children. In the first century, they were regarded as the lowest of their society. Even children, even in our day to day, they just, even I just don't want to say that childlike, dependent on God. Yes, that's right. But what Jesus is really aiming at here is saying, like, not to be ashamed of that position. Let us pray.